It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to be here this morning and bring the Word of God to you. One of the most famous verses in the Bible is found at the end of Matthew. And if I give you the first word of the verse, I hope many of you will be able to recite the verse word for word. If I say, "Go make," many of you will be able to say, that is Jesus' word saying, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And you might even be able to go further and say, he says, "Teach them everything that I've commanded you." And you might even be able to say the last part of that verse, "I will be with you always till the end of the age." But we're missing the first part of that verse, aren't we? Because Jesus' words with "go make disciples" starts with the word "therefore." Therefore, go make disciples. So please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28, and I'll be reading from verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age." You see, the part that we were missing was the part where Jesus says, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth." He first declares his authority as he has received it from the Father. But what does it mean to have authority? What does the word authority mean? Let me explain by an example. If I were to go into the street and stop cars and say, "You haven't stopped at that stop street, I have to give you a fine," would that person have to give me the money for that fine? No, they wouldn't, because why? I am not a traffic officer. I'm not someone in the position to stop cars. I'm not in the position to stop cars and to give them fines for not stopping at stop streets or not stopping at traffic signals, because I'm not a traffic officer. So when will I be able to go out and stop cars and to get fines from them if they break the law? Only when I've become a traffic officer. And to become a traffic officer, I need two things. The first thing I need is the right to do the work of a traffic officer. I just can't pull guys over and ask fines, because I need the right from the right authorities to do that. I need to be appointed to the position and have the right within the law to give a person a fine. But the second thing I need is I need power. If I give that guy a fine and he still breaks the law, I need to be able to take away his license. But I can't do that because I'm not a traffic officer. So when Jesus says in the end of the book of Matthew that he has received all authority, he says he has all the right in heaven and on earth, and he has all the power in heaven and on earth. But what does that mean for us? As Jesus goes on, he says we must make disciples. And for us, that means we must make disciples as Jesus commands us, because he has the authority. He has the right and he has the power. Therefore, we must do what he says. So firstly, why do we make disciples? We make disciples because Jesus has the authority. He has the right and the power to be Lord of all. So you might ask the question, how did Jesus get all this authority? Where did he get it from? So some people think that Jesus has the authority because he is God. And that's true, Jesus is God. But at the end of Matthew, Jesus doesn't have all the authority because he is God. He says, "I have received all the authority." All the authority has been given to him. So someone else had to give Jesus this authority. And then who alone do you think has the authority to give this authority to Jesus? God the Father. God is the one who can give Jesus all this authority. Jesus has been given all the authority by the Father. He did not get the authority because he is God. So the only way we can understand this then is to know that Jesus received this authority as mediator. What do I mean by mediator? It means in his person, as the God-man, he has received this authority from the Father. God has given him a name above any other name, so that everyone shall bow before him. God has given Jesus all the authority, meaning that Jesus has received all the right and all the power from God the Father. But he just doesn't have all the authority only within a small area or a space. He has this authority everywhere, in heaven and on earth, as Jesus says. Let me give you an example. When I become a traffic officer in South Africa, I now have the right and the power to stop cars in South Africa if they break the law and give those people fines. But what if I had a holiday and I went to America and visit my family there? And now while I'm on holiday and visiting my cousins there, he takes me for a drive. And then I see someone breaking the law, a car not stopping at the stop street. And I get out and I try to give that guy a fine. I wouldn't be able to do that because I'm not a traffic officer in America. I'm a traffic officer of South Africa. I don't have the authority in America to give someone a fine. So Jesus' authority is not only limited to a certain area. He has all the authority everywhere, in heaven and on earth. That is why we can obey his command to make disciples. And that is why we can call disciples to listen to the commands of Jesus. And that is also why we can go to all nations and declare the name of Jesus. He is not only the king of the Jews, of his people, but he is the king of everything. His authority is not just limited to one group of people, but to all people everywhere on earth, because Jesus has all the authority. And then it's good for us to remember that when we say that Jesus has all the authority, we are not only talking about the power over everything, but he also has the right over everything, because Jesus earned his position as Lord over all by doing the will of the Father. Please turn to Philippians 2 to prove my point. Jesus earned the position of Lord over all by doing the will of the Father. Philippians 2, verse 5. I'm going to read up to verse 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Verse 9 says that Jesus has a name above every other name for a reason. What is this reason? The reason is found in verse 5 to 8. Jesus received the authority over all things because he did not use his equality with God for his own gain. He did not set himself up as the ultimate authority. Instead, he submitted. He became obedient and he subjected himself to the will of the Father. He became a man and a servant of men. He was even obedient to the Father by going to die on the cross, as we read earlier on in Matthew. The way for Jesus to receive this high position where he says, all authority has been given to me, led him through the cross. He had to die on the cross to do the will of the Father so that at the end God could have given him all the authority in heaven and on earth. And as we read in verse 11 of Philippians 2, all of this is to the glory of the Father. Hebrews 12 verse 2 makes the same point, where it says, Jesus endured the pain and suffering of the cross to sit at the right hand of God. He looked forward to this day when he would receive all authority. Jesus is the Lord because the Father made him Lord of all. And that is why we must make disciples of all nations, because Jesus received all this authority. But how do we do that? How do we make disciples? We make disciples by, firstly, baptizing them. We make disciples by baptizing them. Secondly, we make disciples by teaching them. But before we look at these two points, something important to note. Jesus' command is to make disciples. Some of our modern translations translate it as go and make disciples. But the focus here is to make disciples, not on the word go. The word go in this sentence is not the main idea or the focus. The text says make disciples by baptizing and teaching them. We don't get an order to go in a specific place or for a specific time. So the focus is make disciples. But we must be careful. The word go is not just unnecessarily inserted into the text. It is there. But the idea of this word go is as you go, make disciples. It's important to have this word go because it's not a once-off command that we tick off the list. Okay, I've made a couple of disciples, so now I can stop. The idea is as you go on in life, as you move from place to place, as you build relationships with people, you must make disciples. And this is not an easy task. It's not easy to just make disciples everywhere you go, because it demands all of our time and all of our energy. We should be focused on this in all of our other responsibilities and day-to-day living. You should have a focus of making disciples. But how do we do this? How do we make disciples? As I've said before, we make them by baptizing them. What does it mean to baptize someone? The baptism of disciples is not simply a matter of going underwater for a couple of seconds. Jesus makes it clear that we must baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Going down underwater for a couple of seconds has no meaning apart from the name of God. At the baptism, the disciples then identify themselves as followers and learners of the one true God, whose name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus' statement makes it clear that it is one name that we are baptized into, and that we baptize other disciples. That one name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the one true God, the God who reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's one God in three persons. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. This identification with the one God in baptism shows us that the focus of Jesus' method for making disciples is by identification. God identifies himself with a disciple, and the disciple identifies himself with God. So the disciples are first identified by the name of the one true God, and this God is different from all other gods. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the only God who has revealed him in this way. An example of this would be, I've recently graduated from a college, and there I attended a ceremony where they gave me my degree. And the significance and the meaning of this ceremony is that the college has given me this degree and said, we identify Henny van die Kerk as a student of this college and a graduate of this college. And I, by standing up and getting my degree, show them that I identify as a learner, a pupil of this college. The same here with the people at Midrand Church. People who have are members here, have recognized themselves as members, and the eldership of the church has recognized them as members of this church. It's an identification. Now, I don't carry my degree with me everywhere I go to show people, look, I'm a graduate of this college. But people who know me will know that I spend most of my time at the college and learn at this college. And they, if they know anything about the college, they would recognize that he speaks as someone who's studying at that college and learning from that college. The same here with the church. People who know this church may ask you, are you an attendant of Midrand Church? Because you speak like someone from Midrand Church. You sound like someone who sits under Matt and Frank's teaching Sunday from Sunday. The point is that the ceremony that the college had and the baptism is a way to show publicly that these two parties identify with each other. Baptism shows that God identifies with his disciples, and the disciple shows that he identifies himself with God. So God testifies that he is our God and that we are his children. So Jesus makes it clear that we must baptize the disciples in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus identifies himself as their God and him as their people. So the same with us when we are baptized, we testify publicly that God is our God and that we are his disciples. The second thing is how to make disciples is by teaching them. So we have the first one is baptizing them, the second one is teaching them. Jesus is very specific about what to teach. Teach the disciples everything that I have commanded you, all things that I have commanded you. If you are identified with the name of Jesus, you also need to follow the teaching of Jesus. Not just certain parts of his teaching, but all of his teaching. And there are two ways in which we are taught by Jesus. The first is by explanation, and the second way is by example. So explanation and example. Both of these ways are important for teaching and making disciples. Doctrine and theology must be explained and understood before we can live it in a Christian context. Disciples must know what to believe, and then they must grow in this knowledge and understanding. And then they also need to know how to live and what to do with their knowledge. So it is important for the disciples to know everything that Jesus commands them. We cannot pick and choose which of the commands we teach and which ones we don't. And everything that Jesus taught his disciples was by explaining and also by example, as we read through the Gospels. Remember the example when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He taught them by explaining his actions to them, and he also taught them by his actions, by washing the disciples' feet, telling them to serve one another. The apostles also taught the church by explanation and through example. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 writes that the Corinthian church must imitate me as I imitate Christ. For us, that means we must have the same focus when we make disciples. We must teach them by explaining gospel to them and be an example to them. So we ourselves need to listen to the commands of Jesus to be able to be an example to them. We must have the same mindset as Paul had. We must imitate Christ and then call others to follow Christ as we follow him. And then Jesus ends by saying that, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus gives us this promise that he is always with us. Jesus is God with us. He is with us every day and all the days of our lives. It is by His power that we make disciples, and it is because He has the right to be the Lord that we make disciples. God has given Him a name above all other names. So we must make disciples as Jesus commands, because He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And we must make disciples as He commands us, by baptizing them, by identifying them with Jesus. And we must teach them all that Jesus has commanded. And then we have this promise of Jesus that He will be with us to the end of the age. Thank you. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that we are able to come together as a church and be able to serve in the community. And Lord, as we do this, we pray that we will look to the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we go out into this world and make disciples for You. Let our focus not be on ourselves, but as we go from place to place and as we live our daily lives, that we will have this mindset of being an example of followers of You and also teaching other people about Your word and Your gospel. And we pray that people will be saved through Your gospel, and that they would submit themselves to the authority of Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for Your promise that we have Jesus with us every day until the end of this age. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.